You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the University City Science Center. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Mike Lukowski, Tech Reps. We'd like to introduce Joe Serpin, President of Applied Medical Software. Joe, what is Applied Medical Software?
AMS is a healthcare data analytics company. We work primarily with hospitals and physicians, and we've developed a gain-sharing program, which is an initiative that helps hospitals to align the incentives with physicians to be able to reduce costs and improve quality.
That's a pretty innovative model. And how'd you get involved with this business?
I started out back in the mid-70s at the Department of Health in New Jersey, developing a new reimbursement system that ultimately Medicare adopted nationally, and that was really the stepping stone for me in my career. I started a consulting firm at that point in time and then moved on to other healthcare initiatives. And my original boss at the Department of Health, my initial boss, who gave me a start right out of college, asked me to come partner with him in AMS.
Why did he want you to partner with him? What kind of stuff were you bringing to the party that he wanted?
Well, I think we were a great team. He was always the ideas person and had the innovation in terms of where things should be headed, especially with healthcare reform initiatives and other things, and I was really the person that could make them happen, so I could enhance the ideas and operationalize them.
Give us an idea, somewhere between the ages of 8 and 14, when you were able to enhance an idea and take it the next step.
Well, I mean, it could be something simple where my mother would say to me, you know, I hate to clean pots, but I want to do them, and I would say, well, I'll do them for you, can you pay me for it? And I would go out in the rest of the apartment building and, you know, see who else needed pots to be cleaned, and turned it into a business.
Your nature was to identify demand and then go ahead and scale the demand.
Absolutely.
So you really went to the different neighbors and helped their pots and pans?
Yeah, I put a sign up in the building, in the elevators, on the front door of the apartment. Got in trouble for it. Someone thought there was an illegal business being run in the building, so they knocked on the door, and my mother said you had to talk to the proprietor, and I come out with my little baseball hat on, and there I am. So, but that's pretty much how it's been all along.
I understand you were also involved in a family business. Why don't you tell us about your involvement?
Yeah, my dad
there?
Had a produce business, a wholesale produce business in New York. I grew up on Staten Island, and that's where we interacted as a family. We all, after school, that's before school, we went there. After school, we went there, and that was where we all interacted.
What was your role there? What were you doing?
Well, I would be counting out lemons to be delivered to the restaurants or whatever it might be. I wound up being an economics major, but I always say that my best lessons in supply and demand were learning the produce business.
So what did you learn aside from counting the lemons? I'm sure you did something that was a little bit different there. What did you do a little different in your parents' business, taking it the next step?
Well, it would be things about getting the orders organized to make sure that they were delivered as efficiently as possible. You know, helping out with the once I knew how to drive, helping out with the truck routes. And my dad was originally from Omaha, and we always would joke with him that he still didn't really know New York very well, so we had a better shortcut than he did.
It wasn't just doing the job, but you were always thinking of a better way.
Tried to.
Yeah, it sounds like that's the reason your boss wanted you to hang out with him, because he knew that he could depend on you to take things the next step. It wasn't just to the tip of your nose, but you're able to take it beyond.
Absolutely, and I think I've always surrounded myself by great staff and try to encourage them.
What makes great staff? How do you know you got great staff? What are you looking for?
Well, I think it's more about the personality. I've always felt that a lot of the skills I'm able to teach people that they need to know, but I can't teach people personality or how to interact with a client or how to be service oriented. Mm-hmm. And those are skills that they need to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And the rest I can teach them.
Gotcha. Michael?
You come with a great deal of education and experience and a lot of business savvy. How do you empower and inspire the people that work with you and for you to be as creative as you've been?
I think it goes back to the family business, that you want people to feel that they're part of it, that everybody has their roles, but I think everybody feels that they are absolutely part of the solution. And we really try to have everybody involved in things. You know, I'll take out the trash if necessary, or, you know, do whatever needs to be done. There's nothing that anybody is better or worse at, you know, that. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to make people feel that they have a voice.
Jane?
Joe, on top of doing the family business, were you able to get involved in any extracurricular activity at schools? And
High school?
To some extent, but I have to say that the business part was always my thing. I would had a bike repair shop. That to me was the fun. I mean, even in my professional career, I took a little detour and developed a gourmet food store on Long Beach Island for a number of years that I did as a sideline. I thought it would be a hobby and thought then I'd make it a business, and was very successful. Did that for 9 summers and loved it. So business has always been really my hobby.
And Peter, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was thinking again about the competition in the business you're in. It's a lot of competition, and it's data and it's software. What makes your business different than the others? And
I think it's the people. I always say that data is data. You can slice and dice it. Anybody can really do that. I don't think I'm smarter than anybody else, but I think that we service our clients in a way that nobody else does. So that really makes us different. And I think integrity. I think, you know, being able to feel good about what you do and bring passion to the work.
What would your brother say about you today?
Yeah, good question.
I think it would be, it could be mixed. We grew up in a family where everybody gave back, and I was probably more of the capitalist in the family, but I think he would be very proud today that I've found some social entrepreneur spirit in my work as well. I chair the board at Salus University, and I really do like to give back.
How about mom and dad? I mean, would they be surprised with what you managed to do with your life?
I don't think so, because I think I'm a good combination of the two of them. My mom was the businesswoman, very detail-oriented. Worked for my dad as well. My dad was the one who was the entrepreneur, but at the same time would give the shirt off his back to anybody that needed it.
So how do you think your mother felt when you put that sign up? Whose idea was it to put the sign up about the pots and pans?
Mine.
That was your idea.
Yeah.
And you're the one who wrote the sign and put them up around the building.
Right.
Did your mother have any idea you were doing that before?
Not at the time. She realized it when she saw it when she came home from work and saw it in the elevator. But until then, and then when the neighbor showed up at the doorstep, I think that was...
So how do you think she felt?
I think she was actually proud of me.
Uh-huh. What do you think? Did she tell your father about
oh,
this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And did your father say anything to you?
I think they were both very proud of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's that tell us about your career nowadays, what you did back then as a kid? Do you see a connection there?
Sure. I think the innovation, as we talked about earlier, identifying the need and taking it. But I think it's also sticking with something. I think that's really been something that I've learned over the years, is not to just go with the flavor of the day, but to really identify something and stick with it and make it work in whatever the challenges are.
Don't you see better ideas or other ideas all the time? And why don't you run after those ideas?
Well, you can, but I think that you run after a lot, they don't necessarily work. I mean, what we're doing right now in this gain-sharing environment, for example, healthcare reform is a big issue, and being able to provide a solution or a tool to our clients to be able to respond to that and to tie into other initiatives is extremely important. But we started this program almost 20 years ago, but you would think it was developed today to meet the needs.
Mm-hmm. Jane?
How much does instinct go with what you do day in, day out?
I think it's a lot. And I think it's listening and getting, you know, taking ideas and information from other people and being able to evaluate that. But I think instinct is and not every instinct is good,
right.
but you know, hopefully you make enough choices that they work.
Mm-hmm. Joe, tell us about failures. I mean, everything can't be perfect. And one of them, how do you deal with failures and how do you learn from that?
Absolutely, you have to learn from them. I think if you don't have any failures, you really haven't taken risk.
Can you give us one example of how you?
Yeah, I mean, we've had in my consulting business, we had a lot of activities that we would think would be very successful strategies for a hospital or for ourselves to get involved in that just really wasn't the right time. Oftentimes, we were ahead of ourselves in thinking about things. Mm-hmm. That I could see 10 years later, we were involved with an online medical education program that if I did it today, I would do it certainly very differently than what we did back then. So I think you have to learn from those mistakes, but I think you bring those mistakes to everything else that you do, and they make them better.
Mm-hmm. Greg, did you have a question?
How did being a consultant prior to being the boss help you be a better boss today?
Ooh, good question.
Again, I think it's about the service. I think it's how you want to be treated. I have this motto, stay true to who you are. I never want to forget where I came from, and to really make sure that you treat people as you would want to be treated. And, you talk to the maintenance person, you talk to the finance person in the same way in any organization. I think it's really important. But I think that service orientation that you do in consulting, when you start to work with a product, you have to have that same thing. And it's really critical.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
Growing up, was there a big extended family? Did you get together? Was there visiting, grandparents? Can you talk a little bit about that? Because
yeah,
you seem to have a really good grounding in family and community.
We did. I came from a relatively large family. My dad was one of seven, my mom one of three, so a lot of aunts and uncles, lots of cousins. All of them, in some shape or form, were involved typically in my dad's business, either a recipient of food from the business, or they actually would come and work. And, you know, for the kids, it was more a training ground. You know, they would come and would sweep the warehouse floors. I wouldn't be surprised to see my cousins there or something like that.
Right. Not too unlike what you're doing right now, where
Absolutely.
You have this extended family and everyone contributing toward the success of the business. And did you take a leadership role when you were there with your cousins? Were you counting the money? Tell us a little bit about how that all went down.
I mean, there was a pecking order of age, you know, so, but absolutely, you know, everybody had their roles and everybody would love to come down and, you know, help out in the warehouse. And, you know, my aunt worked there on Saturdays and she had cerebral palsy and my dad, you know, would encourage her to be involved with that. So it was really definitely one of taking care of everybody, but everybody contributed in their own way.
Joe, what is the website address for Applied Medical
it's
www.appliedmedicalsoftware.com. Excellent. We've been speaking with Joe Serpin, president of Applied Medical Software, here on Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host.